There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, the show I've been waiting to do all week long. I've got my friends from Team Fight or Die joining me this hour. That is the U.S. Veterans Rowing Team. We've talked about them in the past. They row across the Atlantic on purpose in that race that could take 50, 60 days. And I'm with them as they're training right here. So we'll explain the story, but there's an anchor to the Mobile area for this national team, and they're training right here in Mobile. They're going to join me here, some amazing veterans, and we'll hear their stories and talk about the Talisker Whiskey Challenge, this row race that goes on from starting in early December and crosses the Atlantic. That's coming up on today's show. Get right to it, though, on Midday Mobile with our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams. As a tropical storm watch is in effect right now for Mobile County, and I'm sure probably Baldwin County as well. I'm just seeing the Mobile County update. Dr. Bill Williams joins us now to talk more about Ida. Hey, Dr. Bill.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon.
Ida is about to cross the western portion of Cuba, and that's a very narrow strip of land, and it's not going to have really much of an effect on the storm. And it's then going to move into the southeastern Gulf of Mexico. Tomorrow, it's going to track across the Gulf and at least be in the central Gulf by late afternoon. And during that period of time, it's going to become a hurricane. In fact, it may become a hurricane very close to Cuba. But it will become a hurricane and then steadily move toward what we now believe will be the target, and that is the central coastline of Louisiana, Sunday evening, possibly into the early part of Monday morning. It's going to continue to strengthen and could very well be a high Category 3 at landfall. That means winds of 125 miles per hour or a little bit stronger. And so it'll be a major hurricane when it reaches Louisiana. The likely area right now is just west of Grand Isle, Louisiana, and there could be a little bit of change in that track, but it seems to be quite consistent right now. There is very little wind shear over the Gulf, but you cannot rule out the possibility of a little burst of wind shear that could change the storm's track just slightly. That happened with Hurricane Ivan back in 2004 when it looked like it was headed right for Mobile. And then it got changed just a slight bit by some wind shear, and it ended up going over to Baldwin County and Pensacola. We don't expect that to happen, but it looks like the track will stay well to the west of us. However, we will be on the eastern side of the storm when it reaches Louisiana. And that is usually the area which you find a lot of heavy rain. We will see some gusts at times of the tropical storm force, so we may see some winds up to 40 to 45 miles per hour, maybe a little stronger down along the coast. And that will occur particularly late Sunday and into Monday morning. And the rainfall will be quite heavy to the east, Sean, and it's going to be a problem for Alabama for a couple of days or more, because as the storm moves inland, it's going to be pulling all that moisture into our area for several days.
Yeah, this this northeast quadrant of a storm, or the just being on the east side, is always the worst side of the two to be on. Right. I want to get back to that in a second and talk about getting, like, narrow down, zoom in on specific areas. But before that, you talk about Ida hitting the Gulf. You talk about, you've taught me over the years, you said, not a lot of shear out there. So also, obviously, we're looking at probably dang near peak Gulf temperatures right now. So, you know, the shear is the brake. The water temperature is the accelerator. It looks like it's got a lot of accelerator and not a lot of brake on it as it comes across the Gulf.
Yeah, the water temperature are always warm, of course, for the Gulf of Mexico, but it will be going over the loop current, which is even warmer in the sense that it's very warm with depth. And so if a storm goes over the loop current, it churns the water up, but it's bringing water up to the surface that's already warm. So it's usually a big factor in the strengthening of a hurricane. So we look for this to be a very powerful storm when it reaches the Louisiana coast.
This is the same area generally, right? Maybe a little west of there that got hit so hard last year.
Yeah, I mean, this is another tough situation for Louisiana after all of the activity last year. And it'll slow down once it reaches the coast and then gradually turn to the northeast and then move on up through Mississippi on Monday. But as it moves inland, all that moisture will continue to be pulled in, and a lot of that is going to be right over our area for several days. And we're counting on quite a bit of rain at least through next Wednesday, and then later in the week we'll get back to our normal routine of a few afternoon thunderstorms and, of course, warmer temperatures.
All right, so the zoom in I was talking about, let's do this timeline. You said Sunday into Monday. People that need to do things on the water, whether in South Baldwin or, you know, Dolphin Island, I know they've already restricted travel there on the west end. When do we start Sunday? Is it a Sunday afternoon or evening? Kind of give me a timeline on that.
Well, the winds are going to start picking up in our area, become gusty through the day on Sunday, so even Sunday morning, but certainly okay. Sunday afternoon. And we are looking for a storm surge of at least 3 to 5 feet for the Alabama coast and Mobile Bay. And so that's a significant rise in water level. And and hopefully it won't be any more than that. And we can keep that storm over in Louisiana. But conditions in our area will sort of deteriorate with increasing showers and thunderstorm activity through the day on Sunday. And the peak of activity will be Sunday night and early Monday. And we will see gusts again up to 40, 45 miles per hour. Most of the time, the winds will be running 15 to 20 miles per hour.
You know, one of those things, though, if we look at that 45 on the gust, if we have a bunch of rain, we've seen storms like that where it rains a bunch and the winds might not be some kind of dramatic thing, but we had so much rain that some trees will come over at their roots, you know, when they're soaked like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And we still have the situation, too, where a lot of those tree limbs are either broken or weakened from the storm activity that occurred last year. And another, you know, blast of tropical storm gusts will perhaps bring those limbs down. So it's going to be busy, and it's going to be a tough thing again for the folks over in Louisiana.
All right, Dr. Bill, well, we appreciate the update on that. And, of course, as we get closer to landfall of this, we'll get more information from you on the storm track, and we'll go on from there. We appreciate the update, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, Sean.
That's our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, with the latest on Ida. And here it comes. Ida making it through, right across Cuba, actually a thin part of Cuba, not some mountainous that usually clips these storms. So it's coming on, hitting the Gulf, warm waters in the Gulf, of course, and that Gulf loop current, reminiscent of, you know, Katrina hit that loop current. A lot of other storms have as well. Central Louisiana, that coast where the relief around there is what? You go, anybody spent time in there, you can go 10, 20 miles inland and you come up 3 feet. Storm surge is going to be a big deal for them. But 3 to 5 around here, too, that's significant. And if you're on the water, you know what that means for you. So start thinking about it. Looks like tomorrow's our best day for the getting stuff done. And as we need to update you on the storm, we will. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Three of the four of Team Fight or Die join me. Lots to talk about. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And a lot to do on today's show. And I mentioned this was a show I was looking forward to all week long because it's really cool. We've talked about it in the past and talked about Team Fight or Die and what they do. And they're training right now, and they're training right here at home. That's one of the, you know, a national national charity, international competition. They train right here in Mobile, and specifically right here just north of Donk River. And Team Fighter Die, if you go to usvetro.com or .org, Spencer?
.com.
Okay, so .com. Check it out. You can read along with us. That, the voice of Spencer Milo. U.S. Army Airborne Infantry Purple Heart recipient, and a man that is choosing on purpose to get in a, how long is the movie?
28 feet.
28-foot boat and row across the Atlantic. Spencer, what, like, how'd you get talked into this?
You know, that's a great that's a great question. You know, I've known Bryant for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and him and I stayed in touch. I followed his trek. I followed the 2019 trek, and, you know, always in the back of my mind thought, this would be really cool. Like, this would be something to do. Don't get me wrong. A lot of it would suck, but what you're coming out of on the other side is pretty amazing. And him and I just graduated from DU with our executive MBAs, and when we first started the program, he started throwing some hints, you know, like, hey, you know, 2021, we're giving some thought. And finally, a few months into the program, I found out that it was really happening. So I said, all right, man, I'm in. And he said, you talked to your wife? I said, I'm in. I'll have that conversation later. But yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where it's supporting a good cause. Yes. And, you know, we all have our own issues. And so I think this is just a really great way to say that no matter what you got going on, how many reasons you have to quit, you have just as many to keep going.
Well, it, you know, and when this first started, I started talking to Brian about it. I said, what better group to do this than combat vets? Mission-oriented folks. People like you that have incredible challenges, and y'all push through and get it done. This is a like a non-combat version of that, in a way, this challenge.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, in the military, we're taught to be pretty resilient, right? We're taught to be self-starters. We're taught to figure things out on our own. And, you know, I think this voyage is going to be everything of that, right? We're going to have to be mission-oriented. We have to be focused. We're going to have to rely on each other and ourselves. And, you know, it's also big kid rules, you know? We got 2 hours to row, and if I decide not to row, well, that's just another day on the water. So, yeah, I've got some pretty good motivation to row.
Yeah, I was going to wait for a second to get into that, but let's do that now. Y'all schedule. Now, y'all hear this. So, you row for two, and you have 2 hours off?
Yeah.
And then you're back to rowing?
Yep. 2 hours on, 2 hours off until we get to Antigua. So,
y'all think about that shift. Y'all think about, you know, people talk about, man, I worked a long one today. I worked, you know, I worked a 12-hour day. Y'all are rowing for 12 hours a day.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. so we did a 24-hour row, like a challenge. It was a fundraiser, I think, in May. And just 24 hours, and none of us had done really anything like that yet. You know, we'd done a bunch of rowing for training, but hadn't really good on the shift work outside of Bryant. So when we went and did that, I mean, it was something, you know. I took the first shift and kind of kept moving forward, and it was an experience, that's for sure.
Okay, let's talk about this, and I do want to get more into the logistics of it, because I find it fascinating how, looking at the Whoopi yesterday, where you store food, where, how you get water, all these kind of questions. But also, let's take a second here and talk about the purpose of Fight or Die.
Yeah.
And you know, Bryant was on with me on Monday talking about this, too. As something that is every day is so important. But right now, the additional challenge that is facing our veterans.
Yeah. You know, really, the way I look at this is, I think everyone is finally starting to get aware of mental health and that being an issue. But I think what needs to continue is people understanding, A, that it's okay to have mental health issues. You know, you take 10,000 vets and you take 10,000 non-veterans, there's going to be just about equal numbers as of people that are struggling. They're just going to be struggling with different things, different rationale behind it. And one of the things that we do here at Fight or Die is providing an opportunity for people to learn a bit about mental health, for those that don't know, and also how to approach people that you're concerned about, how people may be dealing with mental health issues, how can you help them, how can you approach them doing it correctly. And really, you know, when it comes to the stigma, in my mind, the intent is to make sure that mental health maintenance is a thing, right?
Okay.
And think about it when you got a car, right? You buy this brand new car. They say, hey, every 5,000 to 7,000 miles, go get your oil changed.
Yeah.
What happens if you don't get your oil changed for 100,000 miles? Your engine's going to explode.
And yes,
and
it is.
It's the same way when I look at it, like, from a mental health standpoint. If you're not getting yourself any care, you know, you don't have to be in crisis to get care. You know, I go to mental health, I go to my counseling, you know, once a month. Nine times out of ten, I really don't have much to talk about, but it's nice to know that I have somebody there. And when I do hit that mark of like, oh man, I'm really struggling, I know that I have that coming up. I know that I have tools and techniques to get past that. And so that's something that we really want to try and get people to go. It's mental health maintenance. That's everything for me.
You know, one thing to talk about, too, is how to help out those of us that are friends of veterans, family members of veterans. And, you know, we were talking about that the other day with this mental health first aid course. This is, I mean, it spoke to me when Bryant first started talking to me. I mean, this is something that, you know, friends and family of mine have served. And I don't know. It's hard because I don't know what to say sometimes. I call and check in, but I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I would say is, for one, you need to take our mental health first aid course.
I'm hopefully going to be in the next available class.
I'd say that's step number one, but you're right. That's a big thing. I work in the veteran space and mental health and traumatic brain injury space, and one of the biggest questions I get asked all the time by family members, friends, you know, and just random folks is, well, how do I know what to say? Or what do I say? And because people are so afraid sometimes they're going to offend them, people don't say anything. And sometimes, you know, you may not have the right thing to say, but just saying, hey, I don't know what's going on, but if there is something, know I'm here.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes you don't have to have the perfect words. Obviously, you know, there are certain things we prefer to say other than others, but ultimately, you know, you just have to have the conversation.
Yeah, and we need to have this conversation all the time, but right now maybe a flashpoint like what we're dealing with right now and have been dealing with for the last couple of weeks, just people listening to us right now, that it is uncomfortable, but maybe it's time to push through. It's way more important than me being uncomfortable. I need to make the call.
No, 100%. I think that's really what it comes down to is, and I'm a big believer in just being upfront with people. And if you're uncomfortable, let them know. Say, hey, you know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this conversation. I'm not really sure what to say to you, but I know that there's a lot going on in the world, and I know that you may be having some feelings, and I'm open to listen if you want to talk. And sometimes just opening that door, that's what's important.
And this is good, and we'll talk again about this, the course for people like me, and this mental health first aid course. Because we all, it makes sense, because we all, you know to take our first aid course and CPR course, and it's all physical things, but until y'all started talking about it, I never thought about it on the mental health side. And Tony's joining us as well, Tony Morrow, part of Team Fight or Die, and out of Washington, living in Washington now.
Yep, that's right. Live in Washington, D.C., hail from Washington State.
All right. Wow, okay, so you went from the state to the district.
Yeah, exactly.
So you couldn't convince Brian to go do this rowing on the Potomac here?
Actually, we talked about it, and I've been out on the Anacostia River in Washington, D.C., doing a little bit more river rowing, getting some experience getting water underneath me. But Annapolis would be a great place, looking at the future. You know, Brian's talked about multiple teams.
Yeah.
Looking East Coast, West Coast, Washington State. We got Puget Sound. It could be a great training area, too.
Let's talk about this. The facing this challenge. So Spencer and I were talking about facing this challenge. I can think of no better people than y'all, than combat vets, to face a challenge. But still, this is, I'm not talking you out of it, but it's the Atlantic Ocean, okay? I mean, you know, it's the Atlantic Ocean, and y'all ain't got no motor on that thing.
That's true. But, I mean, if you frame it right, it is the smaller of the oceans, so we should be rowing.
Positive. There we go. And get into some of the stuff we talked about yesterday. We're all down here talking about it. Kind of how the Whoopi's laid out. Because people are going to ask these questions. When we come back from the news break, too, we'll talk more about it. But y'all got to carry, y'all got to carry everything with you. Food. What do you do about water?
We will carry 50 liters of water. That'll be emergency water. So okay. That'll be down the middle of the boat. Kind of help us keep some balance in the boat. You saw her today. She's feathery on the
water. Very feathery. This is, and as y'all think about rowboats, and you can go to the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 or our Facebook page as well and see a picture. Plus, you can go to usvetrow.com and look at Fight or Die on social media to see a picture of the Whoopi. But this is the race car of rowboats. Because we're saying rowboats, there's probably people picturing some kind
little
of, you know,
dinghies.
A dinghy. This is like the Ferrari of rowboats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With shark teeth on the front.
Yes.
She looks good.
But you got to pack everything in. You take the emergency water, so you make your own water when you're
out
there.
We do, yeah. So we'll have two water makers. One will be electric powered, so we have solar panels on the boat. So we'll have 40 liters of drinkable water that we'll replenish daily.
Okay.
So we'll run that in high sun, so about noon, we'll run the water maker, we'll replenish all of our water supply, and then as a backup, we have a hand pump that'll make water for us as well, because two is one is none, right? So we have to have that backup system for us.
And then food.
Yeah.
I saw, I'm sitting there yesterday talking with y'all, and I was asking Brian, what are these, you know, little, look like inspection plates on the side of the Whoopee? And he said, that's where our food's stored. When we come back, I want to talk about that, what y'all take on this trip, more about how people can get set up to follow y'all on this year's trip as well. A lot of questions, too, we can get done on the text line at 343-0106. Team Fight or Die, hanging out with us right here on FM Talk 106.5, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Team Fight or Die, doing their training right here at home in Mobile. First, I want to check in, speaking of home, not far from here, my buddy Larry Kirby with LCM Motor Cars, and I'm sure we got some inventory to talk about, Larry.
Absolutely. You know, earlier this week, we talked about the midsize SUVs. How about a bunch of third-seaters? We've got a bunch of great selection. You know, we got Buick Enclaves. We got Ford Expeditions and Explorers. We got GMC Acadias and Yukons. So we got a great mix of third-seaters all across the board.
Okay. The other part of what makes LCM Motor Cars great is your selection of financing. And we talk about that all the time, but it's important because even I, when I first met y'all, was in that idea that, you know, you go to the bank or the credit union, you secure the financing, and then you come look at the vehicles. But we don't have to do that anymore. Y'all got a huge selection.
Well, we do have a great selection. You know, we got credit unions, we got all different kind of finance sources, but you know, we do so much business with them, and we've been doing business with them for 20 plus years, so they know what our track record is, so we're able to get a lot of things done that a lot of people can't get done.
Well, let's do this. Give people directions to come find you online and in the real world.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com, like us on Facebook, or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars, and we continue our discussion with Team Fight or Die, and talking with Spencer Milo and Tony Morrow. And look at this, and along with Bryant, Army's dominating this year's team. Y'all do have a Marine.
No, actually, we are all Army. We are
all Army.
All Army. So it's all Army.
Yeah, we had a late shift in personnel, so we're all Army now.
Okay, so all Army on this team. So do you use that as a challenge to other branches going forward for next year? I mean, I'm not trying to promote the trash talking, but y'all do some trash talking.
You would think that we'd have a team of sailors, but
Navy, where are y'all?
Yeah, we got to do some heavy recruiting and put together a Navy team. Next year's team is going to be all Air Force.
Okay.
So, you know, we need to start representing all branches. We've been talking with Coast Guard veterans as well. We'll bring some of them in. So, yeah.
A huge Coast Guard community right here in our area, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, think about that. Our veterans community here, I know y'all hail from all parts of the country, but 160-some-odd thousand veterans that live pretty much in the sound of this radio station from northwest Florida, southeast Mississippi, and southwest Alabama.
Yeah.
It's a huge community.
Very familiar. I actually lived in Gulf Shores and went to college in Pensacola. So
did you really?
Yep. So I'm coming back.
Yeah. You know, when we went to the break, we were talking about some of the logistics stuff that I think is so cool. And once again, y'all go look at a picture of the Whoopee on our social media sites, or go to usvetroad.com, or look for Fight or Die on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you'll see the pictures. So you see what these men are about to get in and go. I'm not trying to talk y'all out of it, but what they're about to get in and row across the Atlantic. And we talked about water, but then yesterday I noticed these these storage hatches there. I was like, oh, is that for like inspection of the hull or something? That's your food.
That's where we keep our food. So as of right now, we're working on getting the rest of our food. We'll have 1,100 dry meals.
Okay.
And we'll have about just shy of 225 wet meals that we'll have as an emergency ration. So
because the time it takes, it's not a set time. It's whatever time y'all can get this thing done in.
Yeah, we're basically prepping for 60 days. You know, that's the right. what they recommend being prepared for. And You know, as much as I hope that we're not at that point, you know, we got to be prepared for those possibilities. So should be a good thing. I mean, we're going to be eating anywhere from, I think it was a 4,700 to about 5,700 calories between the four of us, depending on our weight each day, and be burning off about 10,000 to 12,000 calories a day. So we're going to be losing some weight. It's going to be good. Be a good diet for me. So that's why I'm doing it, just to be on a diet.
I've seen pictures, the pre and post from the previous trips, and I've noticed that pretty darn skinny when you get in.
Yeah, the recommendation is that you put on 20 pounds or so prior to the start of the race, so you can burn that off en route. But I think Bryant said he lost 37 pounds on his first time across. So we've been bulking up. We were working with a nutritionist for a while. We were doing some strength training. So I know Spencer and I both put on about 15 pounds. You know, layer that up with a little bit of blubber to get us out.
Oh, yeah. We'll be all right.
Well, you're in the right place for that part of the training, too. Okay, so you're a great place to row, and y'all are here training, and rowing will be. But on the bulk up side, consider maybe tonight some fried shrimp.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll get some barbecue. Maybe we'll get some gumbo.
I'm in.
Okay, so we specialize in that around here. We can pack that weight on and get you.
I heard y'all have some adult beverages around here too.
1 or 3,000,
good to know.
Somewhere between there that I can help you with as well, so we can take care of that. All right, and let's talk about this too, where people can follow along, and we'll be talking about this when we get closer to December. But there's a way that folks can be part of what y'all do by going online.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can follow us on any of our social media handles, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You know, follow us. Find a way to get involved. We've got a challenge coming up. What day is September?
Mid-September.
It's called the Own Any Route Challenge. And kind of think about any of you that have kids out there and you had a run-a-thon.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of pay per mile. You can create your own team. You can get your business to create your own team to kind of sponsor what we're doing. You can follow our team. You know, I've basically said that I'll do about 1,000 points during the challenge. And, you know, you can do anything. Any little bit helps. But, you know, the more people, honestly, just even following us is important. You know, it's good to know when we're out in the middle of the ocean that we've got a whole big family back here that's pulling for us.
Yeah. Checking the updates.
Yeah, the more you follow us, the better.
Yeah, love checking the updates and seeing, you know, where y'all were and the other teams were. You know, it's really cool. And let's talk about that, too, as individuals, people that appreciate what you're doing, donating and helping through those sites, but also sponsors. I mean, y'all have got some great sponsors, people that make this happen, and what a great place for businesses to be and where they can have, you know, associate with what y'all are doing. So talk about that. If a business is listening, wants to be part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you made the analogy that this is a race car.
Yeah.
So, and
yeah,
we
is.
Will outfit her like NASCAR. You want to put your sticker on the hood, we'll put it on the hood. We definitely have some material needs. So, you know, we're talking food.
Yeah.
So looking for food sponsors, looking for sponsors for some of our equipment and things like that. But anybody who wants to get behind the cause, supporting, you know, our support network and what we're doing to support the veteran community, support mental health initiatives. If you want to get involved in that, then, you know, join the team. You can sponsor us financially. You can sponsor us with equipment needs, shipping costs, things like that. All of those things, we would welcome sponsors to support us in that, and that supports our overall mission of veteran mental health. So, yeah, if you're out there listening and you want to get involved.
The fastest track. Somebody's listening to us right now. Maybe they can't even write it down, but they're going to memorize it as they're riding. And where do they go?
So, usvetrow.org. You go to the website there, contact us there, send us a message. I'll put Bryant's phone number out later in the,
good.
In the session. So.
Good.
Please text him frequently.
In the middle of the night. Yeah, 3:30 in the morning, 3:45, I think is best. That's when I
absolutely.
Like it.
Absolutely.
And so this is a great – you mentioned shipping, too. And for people who don't know this, so y'all train on the Whoopee, and then you got to – I mean, you got to ship it because y'all are coming the other way. You're coming from off the coast of Africa coming to Antigua, so you got to get the Whoopee there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. October 1, it ships out, so – come October 1, that boat's getting put in a Connex, making its way over to
La Gomera,
where we're going to be. And then we open up that Connex and hope that everything is the way it was when we shipped it. And if not, we're going to make a way to make it work. So
yeah, if any group can, you know, combat vets can make it work, and y'all can make it. But it's something, because if you were training up for a bicycle race or a race car or whatever, you'd have your hands on that thing right up until the race, right? I mean, making tweaks and running it. Y'all have this added challenge of now y'all got 2 months without it.
Right. Yeah, and once we get to La Gomera, we'll unpack the boat out of the container. We'll get her ready to go in the water, and then for 2 weeks we'll be tweaking on her, making sure that she's going to support us, and we are going to do right by Wilby to get her across the ocean. So it's going to be a lot of work once we get on the ground there, just to make sure she's up and running. You know, we is the engines. We got to get ourselves up and running to get there. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. A lot of work.
You know, as you talk about, we talk about this part and the challenge of rowing across the Atlantic, but yeah, the bigger overall emphasis of Team Fight or Die, and that is the challenge of mental health for our veterans. How are, I know that earlier in the year we talked about a scholarship that went out for people that are working in this. Can you walk through how y'all, five scholarships that went out. What were they for, and what are y'all trying to do in a mission there with giving scholarships?
So really looking, if we can... The ideal candidate, right, would be a veteran who wants to get into the mental health or health field, looking at comprehensive health for veterans to support the veteran community. So veterans going into healthcare to help veterans. That would be the ideal candidate for our scholarship. So we pushed 5 scholarships out this year. You know, as we gain more sponsors over time, we're looking to increase that. Increase the reach of that scholarship program, and then increase the value of those scholarships as well. We get more practitioners in the field to support veterans.
And this is something also that can, like for sponsorship too, could people come in and say, I want to allocate my money to that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So if that speaks to their heart right now, mm-hmm. they can allocate it that way. Not good to get y'all stuff on the boat, but
absolutely. The mission of Fight or Die is to support the veteran community. Yep. So, rowing the ocean is our way of bringing attention to this cause and destigmatizing mental health. You know, we want everybody to be able to talk openly, like Spencer said earlier. Like, if you have an issue, you need to be able to talk about it, and you need to be able to get that support. We're doing that with these scholarships, and we're doing that with mental health first aid training. So if somebody wants to donate just for those two causes, the scholarships and mental health first aid, like, absolutely, we welcome that. Now, of course, sponsors to get us across the water.
Right, yeah, it's important.
Like, that's important.
That's pretty important.
But the mission, to support the veteran community trumps that. So,
well said. I want to talk about this, too. You said it, and I know Spencer said it, and I want you all to hear what it sounds like from a civilian's perspective. When you say destigmatize mental health, as a civilian looking at men like you, and you say that, that affects beyond the veteran community. For us looking at you and going, that you're saying it's all right, it means so much, I think. I don't know if y'all know, beyond veterans, because like, we look at y'all and go, if they can say it, people like them, then holy cow, it green lights for the whole community.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for the military community, there's that air of machismo, right? Mm-hmm. So if
we look at that, and if y'all are saying that,
and being that stoic and holding your emotions back, and just dealing with whatever problems you might have in a private way, like that's kind of the culture that we all come from, but that's not going to get you to a great mental space. It's not going to get you to be a highly productive member of society when you leave service. And that's what we're striving for. Like, be as healthy as you can be. Like, comprehensive health across our veteran community. That's what we're looking at.
Yeah. So. No, you're spot on. And I think to your point about everybody being affected by this, I've been around the world a little bit and met a lot of people. A lot of veterans have mental health issues, but like I had said earlier, just as many non-veterans have had those issues, and that's the big thing. The way I look at it is, do I have PTS? Yeah, I do. Have I had depressive issues here and there, some anxiety? Yeah, I have. But I'm willing to talk about it, I'm willing to own it, and I'm willing to go get worked on, right? It's one of those pieces where trying to hide it really doesn't do you any good. People need to understand that there's always someone in this world that cares about you. Even if you may not think it, I'm telling you right now, I care about you. Yeah. I may not even know you, but I care about you, and I care about your mental health, and I care about your health overall. And I get asked a lot why I share my story openly, and it's really just because, if my sob story helps one person feel like they can get better, then that's great. And that's part of what this row is about for me. Is I've had every chance in my life to quit, and I never have for some reason. And this is just one more thing that I'm not going to quit on, because I want to be able to prove to myself and so many other people that have challenges out there that it does not matter what you're going through. If you have a good enough why, you can get there.
It's fantastic. And you speak to so many out there, like you said, veterans, but there's civilians hearing you, you know, that are nodding right along with you. And come back and more of this conversation. Team Fight or Die, training right here at home. Then they take this rowboat across the Atlantic. Well, it's really, it's an amazing, amazing feat. And these are some amazing, amazing veterans that do it. All right, we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and great to have Team Fight or Die in the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. Yeah, I came down here close to the training ground so y'all could get a row in and still do radio with us. So let's talk about that, too. If people see a Ferrari of a rowboat with some shark's teeth on the front of it going along, that's them, y'all, and y'all are training. And that, how it's a weird question, and I think I've asked it to Bryant many times, but how do you train for rowing 50 days without rowing 50 days? You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to have benchmarks, I guess, that say, okay, if we could do it for this many hours. I mean, how do you work that out?
So all of us have rowing machines at the house.
I got
so,
you. Okay.
So we'll throw on a movie and just row until the movie's done.
Okay.
So that'll get some time in the saddle.
Yeah, and there's a 2 hour. Yeah.
That. Right. In May, actually, we went out to Denver and we did a 24-hour row. So that gave us a great measurement of how many calories we were burning,
right?
How our sleep, rotations, all of that worked out. We did 2 hour shifts, 2 hours on, 2 hours off. And we did that for 24 hours in Denver. So, like, we have a good idea what that looks like and the priorities of work that has to happen when you go in and off shift. So, because we'll be below deck sleeping during that time.
Yeah, listen, wait, don't look at the pictures. Listen, I want to, Tony said below deck. Y'all go look at the pictures, because people are picturing, like, they're walking in, like, in a 53-foot Hatteras going down through the salon into a, below deck means on the fore and aft, there's a cubby.
We basically crawl into a 2x2 little box.
Right.
And when I say 2x2, that's
below.
The entrance into it. And then it's really quite
imagine
balmy in there.
Yes.
A space capsule like
with no air conditioning.
You basically just turn around.
Yeah.
Just goes below deck.
Yeah.
I don't want people to understand.
You know, Sean, I'll mention one other thing. You were talking about preparation, though. And there's also a lot of mental preparation that goes into this.
Absolutely.
You know, we've worked with one of our strategic partners at Denver University with their program for military social work and counseling and such. And it's really important to be mentally prepped for this, because not only are we going to be away from our families, we're going to be terribly sleep deprived, we're not going to be as well nourished as we normally are, and we're also going to be really, really just away from everyone, right? You're in the middle of the ocean, and all you really have are the three people on that boat in your own mind. And if you're not ready for that, and you're not starting to get your mind right for being out in the middle of the ocean, you know, with nothing but your thoughts, especially for folks that have struggled with mental health, you're setting yourself up for failure. And so I think, you know, one of the important things for this race, which I think really goes with Fight or Die's mission, with the mental health maintenance, mental health first aid, and just the mental health in general, is how do we, and we've all had our own conversations with each other about, you know, hey, what are you worried about? What do you think is going to be the struggle? And just being open about it, being ready to be mentally prepared for this is incredibly important.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about that. If people, we can picture what it's like when those relatives stay, for 2 days at the house around the holidays and the stress that that causes, y'all going to be, I mean, close quarters is an understatement.
Yeah, I got to be with Bryant for 40 to 60 days.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Right next to him. It's going to be great.
In a little coffin cabin.
I can't wait.
I'm looking through the text here, and so many of our veterans community listen to the show. They're giving you salutes right and left here. And, of course, then questions like this. I guess I'll, I, I guess I'll do this because they're asking it. So taking care of business, people are asking that too. not to take this like if my son was listening, like, yeah, Dad's going to talk about that kind of stuff. Like, how do y'all do that?
So we've done one other radio interview leading up to this, right?
Right.
So when we're out in Denver, and we got the same question then. No, but really, we have a 5-gallon bucket, the luggable Lou, and she's got shark teeth on her too.
Yeah. I made sure to decorate her to match the boat.
But basically, you got two guys, you know, pulling watch for you, making sure that
you don't fall off.
You don't fall off while you're sitting there on the can. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's going to be an art that we need to practice, so we don't make a mess of things and you don't end up overboard as well.
Gonna have to really work hard on uncomfortable eye contact.
And see, also just a bunch of Gulf Coast folks here on the text line. This is the same things I talked with y'all about off there. They're like, yeah, y'all gonna go, y'all gonna row during Ida to check out your rowing skills during a hurricane?
It wouldn't be a bad idea. We're guaranteed to get some rough water while we're crossing, so
yep.
We don't want to destroy the boat before we get to the race.
And the boat thing, too. Yeah. This is something that we talked about, the length and all that. But so, you know, y'all heard me earlier ask Bryant about this because somebody asked me last night, what does it weigh? As we wrap up here, what does that boat weigh?
Dry, she's about 500 pounds. So she is incredibly light. And that's that feathery.
Yes.
You know, hashtag feathery.
About 500 pounds dry. Once we load her up, we're looking about 1,500 pounds with all our water, food, and men.
All right. We're going to talk again about this very soon. Spencer Milo, Tony Morrow, and Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die. Once again, online, where do they go?
usvetrow.org.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.